We are back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I want to thank everyone for supporting the show, checking out our radio waves, but also especially our YouTube channels, thousands of videos. And with thousands of videos, we want to say we wish Chris Jarrell all the best. Hope he's back soon. Make sure you get that flu pack, Chris. We want you back. But sitting in your chair is the ever-growing, competent Alex Cooper. Well, thank you, Alex, for stepping in. And our next guest, Natalie Roberge from Vigilant CFO Services. Welcome, Natalie.
Bonjour. Thank you very much. Merci.
Natalie, tell us about Vigilant CFO Services.
I think probably I should go back a little bit because Vigilant CFO Services grew out of an opportunity that I saw while I had my other company, Divorce Financial LLC. So Divorce Financial LLC was founded in 2008 after I got divorced and needed to reinvent myself. Somebody suggested I start giving advice to people going through a divorce, financial advice, which I thought, you know, given that I needed to find a way to reinvent myself and be around to raise my two kids, this was a way to be able to work on a part-time basis. So that's how I started. And from 2008 through 2017, that was my main business, doing divorce financial advice, litigation support. But during the course of those years, I also ended up with clients who got multimillion dollar settlements. And once they were divorced, they needed somebody to be a trusted advisor to help them in the transition. And so I would set up a transition team to get them new professional. And some of those clients wanted to retain me as a, you know, a trusted advisor. So I became sort of like provided a la carte family office services. And this grew into a bigger share of my business. And right now, the family office services represent about 50 to 75% of my business. So that's why I decided to fold Divorce Financial into Vigilant CFO Services.
I don't want to get in trouble. Majority of your clients, women?
Yes. And I think the reason for that, and, you know, like I don't discriminate. I'm happy to have men as well. But, you know, generally women will ask for directions, men not as much.
But there's not current data, but previous data that I had seen that says that a lot more women than men struggle for the first 5 to 10 years after divorce financially. That it's more common for women to struggle. Is that sort of something that you think still is prevalent today or less so?
Well, yes, because, you know, mind you, I have to disclose the fact that I typically handle high net worth cases. But in a divorce case, usually you have one family relying on, you know, two income or one income and maintaining one household. So if they get divorced, they have now to maintain two households. So, of course, if, you know, it, you know, resources are scarce, you know, post-divorce. And, you know, women need some time to be able to reinvent themselves or try to find ways to increase their income. But, you know, the first few years after divorce can be challenging, definitely.
Very challenging.
Yeah.
Give us a little background of how you sort of evolved into this, your own personal developmental process.
Okay. Well, I was a bit of a late bloomer. I graduated college when I was 25. And
it's not so bad.
No? Okay. Well, it took me a few years before I went there. And once I graduated from college, I became a currency trader for the TD Bank in Montreal. Did that for a few years, then went on to do structured finance for Citibank for their Canadian subsidiary. And after that, worked at RBC, again in foreign exchange trading. And the last job that I held before moving to the U.S. in 1998 was as a vice president and officer at Lévesque Beaubien in Montreal, which is a wealth advisory firm, broker-dealer. So when we moved to the U.S., I moved to Boston to follow my husband. I didn't have a permit to work in the U.S., so stayed home to take care of our two kids. And after a few years, we got divorced. And so I hadn't been in the job market at all for those few years. And then decided that post-divorce, like a lot of women, had to reinvent myself so that I could, you know, land on my feet financially. And wasn't sure what to do because being a single mom, didn't want to have to go to an office and work 70 hours a week as I used to do when I was working in the banking industry. And that's when somebody suggested, you know, you'd be really good at giving advice to people getting divorced. And that's how I got started with Divorce Financial LLC.
So today, do you work out of your house or do you have a separate office?
No, I still work out of my house. I'm very fortunate. I always say I have the best gig in the world. No commute time.
Right. And do you work alone or do you have any staff or support
people? No, I've been able to work alone. I'm trying to keep my life very simple. And I've just been very lucky. I have ended up with wonderful clients. In the process of the work from one of my family office clients, I uncovered a multi-million dollar fraud. And being a fraud examiner myself, I was able to actually lead the investigation, wrote a report for the insurance company, and we actually just settled this in December.
Wow, good
yeah.
for you.
Yes, yeah.
And so how do you get your clients?
It's at this point, it's really word of mouth and people that I, you know, in my network, because I don't do a lot of promotional and marketing.
Now, without mentioning names, only because it's such a probably such a good story. Could you tell us a little bit about the fraud case, how you sort of dug it up? I mean, again, it's a skill that you have.
Yes.
It's probably an interesting story.
Well, it's, you know, it's, you have to be good, obviously, for, you know, financial forensics and really have an eye towards detail. So in this particular case, it was one of my family office clients. And I was taking over what, you know, after she'd gotten divorced. And while she was married, she was working with a firm who was providing those family office services, among them paying bills, which is not a service that I offer, by the way. And the person who was handling the bill paying at this firm also controlled the receipt of all of the bank statements. And it was the same person who was putting together a financial report on a monthly basis. And as I was taking care of this woman's income tax preparation process, not that I do the income tax return myself, but preparing all the documents for the CPA, I noticed that a payment for the state of Massachusetts in the monthly report had been reported at $60,000. But the CPA handling the taxes said no. The firm told me that it was only $50,000. And I said, well, which is it? Because the report that the firm crafted said $60,000. And now are you telling me that they're telling you $50,000? So, you know, I kept on asking and I wanted to have, you know, a you know, response to my inquiry. So eventually the firm sent one page of a Wells Fargo statement showing that the payment indeed was $50,000. But at that one page, I also noticed a couple of wire transfers that had not been reported in the monthly reports. So that's how I, you know, immediately red flags went up. And that's when I started, you know, slowly doing an investigation into this case.
Good for you. I love that stuff.
Thank you.
I wish you worked with me. I'd have a list of people for you to go check out.
Okay. Happy to do that.
I have a certain radar for that stuff. And it just, I always wonder, you know, and I always say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Do you find that true?
Yes. Usually. Yes. I always pursue every little red flag. You know, right. Even if it leads to nothing, it's just like it's part of my due diligence process.
Wow. It's amazing for me. Usually I always tell clients that I work with, one strike and they're out. If you smell something and they do it once, they've probably been doing it before and they're going to do it again.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, you know, it was for this client, you know, we were able to recover, you know, substantial amount of funds, but not all of it. So, you know, it's too bad that those things happen. But this was a case where the firm had no control process in place. And this person was able to steal for many, many years. I was only able to go back 7 years, but, you know, the fraud had been ongoing before that.
Right.
I just was not able to prove what the amount of the losses were.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Any chance I twist your arm, get you to come back again and talk to us again about different cases that you work on?
I would be happy to do that.
You're a very interesting person.
And, well, thank you.
I do know that having dealt with a lot of clients' divorces, on average, the female clients that I've worked with, even the entrepreneurs, are more nervous as they leave the divorce financially. And so I do think that it's an important part of being an entrepreneur that you need to be stable when you go to work every day.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're feeling unstable, you're not going to run your organization properly either.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're going through a divorce, you know, it's a pretty complex financial landscape.
But so I also know a lot of entrepreneurs who should get divorced and they're too scared to.
Ah, okay. So you know, that's somewhere that, you know, that I could help.
Well, me too.
To give them guidance.
You know,
yeah.
when you see somebody who should be divorced, but they're scared because of this financial instability, it's true. Maybe you could give them some insight pre.
Yeah, because sometimes they just don't know what it would look like in the future.
Right.
So you can help them have a vision, you know, provide for a vision in the future.
Well, Natalie Roberge, a pleasure. C'est mon plaisir. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much.
And if somebody wants to find you, tell us first. How would they find you?
Well, I do have a website for my divorce services. It's divorcefinancial.net. And then I also have a very small presence for vigilantcfoservices.com.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.